Good evening. I've had the, I don't know if it's opportunity or misfortune to be listening to previous Dharma talks of mine lately. Mostly it feels like misfortune. And there was a particular period of time where almost always read from the Tao Te Ching first. And we had both Thursday evening talks and also Sunday morning. And it occurred to me as I looked at the list of talks that I think I talked myself out. And so I've been I've had an interesting relationship with talks for the past few months. Not always a desirable relationship, you know, not a relationship full of desire. I felt always like I wanted to talk. I have this little voice that had just entered my head that said, "You're gonna go there." Yes, I am. Okay. So I sent an email out that maybe not all of you received, but eventually everyone will receive it. I've sort of been putting it out in wider and wider ripples and making some appropriate adjustments too as I go along. So longer email. Its subject is time to listen, and it's basically my explaining and my decision, or what feels like the decision that has arisen for me to undertake social silence in the coming year for, you know, I don't know how long, we could get to January 2nd and I'm done, but for now anyway, to undertake social silence. And in taking social silence, which is what we are practicing here during the practice period, it likewise enables me to continue to meet the commitments that I've made. Unfortunately, in some ways, my life has been, have commitments through to October already, firm, you know, clear things of work and gatherings, etc., with other people that I've been in relationship with over years, so not easily tossable, possible for me, but not easily doable, without creating a reverberating effect that isn't wanted, isn't what I want. So I chose social silence as opposed to taking a year of silence, which was what was really calling me. As a medium ground, and I don't want to so much talk about the social silence, but I want to talk about time to listen. I think there's some point in each one of our lives, likely multiple times, at which we are called deeply to listen, to do something radical, to do something that is far beyond our own perception of our comfort zone, but also far beyond our sense of possibility. Like, that's just not something I would do. And I am beginning to believe that it's part of, those moments are part of what we are, that we, what we live for, that we are here to wait to hear those calls, and the universe is in a state of vibration, pending vibration, watching to see if we will listen, if we will respond to those calls. And most often we don't, and then we kind of do it all over again. It's our version of Groundhog Day, you know, right? So I don't have a really good, I'm a bad Buddhist, so I don't have a really good sense of our karmic life rebirth from, in the way that we think of life, one life to the next. I can't remember, I have a bad memory anyway these days, and so maybe I was born before and, you know, will be born again. But I think that we certainly live these lives and die and are reborn over and over again in what we perceive as the span of our lifetimes. And we re-enter samsara, we re-enter the world of suffering over and over again, over and over again, because we don't heed those calls that come to us often very, very subtly. They're almost stunningly frightening. And I remember that the beginning of this call was kind of like that. We went to Alcatraz together, and this fellow was there that Yvonne Peter introduced me to, and it's a black guy that had been silent for 14 years. And you know, you have those moments where you're, where you know, your brain speech goes two different directions at once. And so part of my brain speech was like, you gotta be kidding, right? And then there was the other part that didn't come from up here at all, that came from down in my belly, that said, wow, yeah. And what was particularly unusual about this fellow is that he was black. And this sort of destroyed many hidden beliefs that I had about who does such wacky things, right? Because white folks do these kinds of things, and we accept that. An Indian guru type, little men with, that write on tablets for 40 years, do this kind of thing. But not like generic black guys, right? And it blew away the spectrum of where I lived and where that possibility lived. It just took it and smashed it all together, because he's just kind of right there to the left of me. And that was a year ago, a little over a year ago, right? It was Thanksgiving Day, just over a year ago. And in the way that life does, I was offered many, many distractions, so that I didn't have to really deeply look in, listen to that call. Like all kinds of interesting entertainment came about. Things happening with my body and my health and love and my family and, you know, on and on. You know, all of the things that get in the way of those calls. But I think if we are honest with ourselves, and at that, whatever that moment it is that it really strikes us, we can look back and say, never went away. It actually surfaced over and over again. I would have these moments of practically wanting to just like get in my truck and leave and never turn around and come back again. That was a representation of that call for quiet, that call for listening to what was being said to me that I was somehow not quite able to hear. So I will listen. And one of the ways in which I'll listen is by having less of my own voice. Jumbling around in my head, right? When I speak, even now, I feel very, very conscious of my own voice in my head. It feels like it's thundering in here, like there's a lot of sound. So that every time I speak verbally, I really feel the sort of fullness of my voice in my head, and I just want her to shut up. I just want it to be quiet. In that way that enables us to listen more deeply, to listen more closely to the message that is being whispered over and over again, almost inaudibly. What feels like every single moment of my existence, this whispering is happening, and it's just beneath the surface of my capacity to actually hear. I want to invite each of you during this practice period to put your ear to your heart and to listen. Listen for what it is that is calling you just beneath the surface of your capacity to hear. And ask yourself, as I did, what will it mean if I don't respond? What kind of life is possible for me if I don't respond to that call? What will I not know? Or maybe even worse, what will I continue to know if I don't listen? And each of you that are participating formally in the practice period that we have has set particular intentions. And I know you're probably full of intentions at this moment and bearing down, getting ready to really take them on. And you likely also have your own personal challenge. But maybe if for no other reason, because I'd like to do this with some company, I want to invite you to add this to your list of intentions. To give yourself permission, as I'm giving myself permission, to really listen. It may not be for you that you need to have utter silence. Maybe what's being called for is you to dance or to sing at the top of your lungs. So what you hear will be utterly different than what I hear. But I wanted you to give yourself permission to listen. When does this begin and end? I just have no idea ever. Okay. So I'm going to reverse course in some ways and read something from the Tao Te Ching on the end, just because I feel like it's calling me. Without opening your door, you can open your heart to the world. Without looking out your window, you can see the essence of the way. The more you know, the less you understand. The master arrives without leaving, sees the light without looking, achieves without doing a thing. This chapter 47.
I'm really loving being with this, just my actual practice period, which is the deep clinic, just having my actually listen and do the thing, recognize that all things are probably do the deep clinic that exists in the world. I want to thank you for pushing me a little bit further into my time. go around and do the same thing. So I was just thinking about this program.
You ever get a recording playing in your head? Yeah, I've got a recording in my head. And maybe it's because I don't know why. But I read a poem one day in our Edmund meeting. And I certainly do not have it memorized. But part of the poem is at least my... My poor recollection of it is playing in my head in between like the spaces, and it's a poem called "True Love" by David White. And there's a about the fourth stanza down. It says, "You just want to live, and you just want to love, and you don't drown anymore because you're tired of drowning. And so all you can do is take in your hand the one that you know whose hand belongs in yours." And he's speaking about true love. It doesn't have to be a person. And I think it's playing because it's like this. It's right. Like I feel like each of us should take in our hand the one that we, whose hand we know belongs in ours. And the only way that we can discover what that hand is, who that hand belongs to, right? What's the symbolic representation of that, is to listen. Because there's so many things that we can put in our hands. There's so many things that we can make ourselves busy with. And it's so not true that you have to have that awful adjective of Kyoto-shiness to do this. And everything about the world that we're living in is telling us that that is not our right, that it is not something that is available to us. And it's why I want to so encourage you to not only seize that opportunity, but to understand it as a responsibility, to understand that to listen to your heart, to spend that time, and then to act on whatever it is absolutely the greatest gift that you can give to anyone in your life. And it's your responsibility if you really want to live. If you really want to live, it's your responsibility, because for as long as you deny that call, you are giving less of yourself. For as long as you continue to just muddle through life, and you'll have joys and you'll have happiness and you'll smile and you'll have friends and you'll love, but there will always be a part of you that will exist in a state of loss, of terrible, terrible loss. And none of us should ever go through our life and end it with that, the experience of that great regret that comes from not having done what you were called to do, and not having followed the many things, and maybe it'll take you off a cliff and you'll die, but you'll die in bliss because you did what you needed to do, and it belongs to each of you, and you should take it. May you go well.